This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Speaking of Hooters Restaurant, here they are.
It's fantasy football time at Hooters. Host your fantasy draft party at Hooters and get a free draft kit with over $200 in Hooters coupons and plenty of free game gear. Book your party online today at Hooters.com/football. With free Wi-Fi, you can check all the stats on game day. Get your game on at Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983, with 12 Tampa Bay area locations.
So get on up and get on down to Hooters.
My thanks to Hooters for their second consecutive in-season sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Keep in mind that we will be doing a fantasy football draft. These leagues are free. The food and drink is not. I just want to make sure you know that. The leagues are free. But when you come to draft at these leagues, you still have to pay your own check. But Ira Kaufman is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Defending champion Robert Wright, who also has become one of my regular Todd Wright Tour golf tournament players, will be there. We're expecting two Hooters calendar girls to wait on us that night, Brooke and Ty, who also worked one of the previous Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. That will be at the Hillsborough Avenue location just west of Dale Mabry in Tampa, Wednesday night, August 22nd. If you would like to be a part of that, you can send a request to do so. It's still a random draw based on availability for Wednesday night, August 22nd. We need you there around 6:30 p.m. If you can't get there by 6:30 p.m., then this isn't for you because we want to start the drafting promptly at 7 p.m. Remember, Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter from JoeBucksFan.com, Ira Kaufman, will be there. We have to take into account his early bedtime. So that all said, send an email, full name, phone number, and any other comments you want to make about the podcast, any questions about the draft. It's pretty much a standard scoring draft that we do. Send that request to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, saying you want to be an owner in the league. And yes, it's fine if you want to bring a guest with you. The guest doesn't get to draft. The guest has to, let's say you have a friend who also would want to own a team. I have to hear from them separately. But if you want to bring your significant other, if you want to bring, say, your son, and he has an interest in football and he's starting to get into fantasy football and you want him to sit with you and see what that live draft is like, that's fine. I like it. Hooters likes it. We're trying to fill some tables in the restaurant in an otherwise slow Wednesday night. Again, Wednesday, August 22nd, need you there by 6:30 p.m. If you would like to play and be an owner in these free leagues powered by Hooters and JoeBucksFan.com against other podcast listeners, send me an email to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. All right, why don't we just analyze? I go back and forth. My reading for these podcasts, and in general this time of year, rotate between JoeBucksFan.com, ProFootballTalk.com, FantasyFootballCalculator.com, and RotoWorld.com. So let's take a recent, as of the time of this podcast, Monday morning, let's take a recent and featured 12-team, and from what I see, no computers. These were all humans that were picking in a 12-team half point, which is becoming more common. I will argue, much as I would argue women should wear the shoes that actually feel good on their feet, not the cute ones that bother their feet, and then they make their men hold them for the majority of the evening. I will argue against PPR. But the half point PPR, I'm starting to see some merit to it. I won't employ it this year unless my owners revolt. But this is a half-point PPR mock draft we're going to talk about with 12 human beings playing in this half-point PPR. So let's just go through it. I'll tell you what happened, and then I'll just give you what stands out to me, what we can learn from it, what the thoughts are. In order, the first 12 picks, so all these first round, David Johnson, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Antonio Brown, Melvin Gordon, DeAndre Hopkins, Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook. Quick thoughts on the first round. First four, about as we expect. Barkley goes before Kamara. They both go before Antonio Brown. Theory there being, if you are the one taking Antonio Brown, who is your RB1 going to be? It's probably going to scare me away from taking Antonio Brown in the first round, because I don't want to take an RB2 and have to shoehorn him in as my RB1, and then your RB3 has to become your RB2, etc. But Barkley goes before Kamara, shows what a hot commodity Barkley is right now. And then every other player drafted in the first round was running back, with the exception of DeAndre Hopkins, who at last check is not apparently with Iggy Azalea anymore, according to Iggy Azalea's social media. Dalvin Cook going in the first round, that appears to be a little overdrafted. The other running backs I can make that case for, but to say take Dalvin Cook instead of Odell Beckham Jr., instead of Julio Jones, instead of Michael Thomas, I don't know that I would be doing that. Interestingly, the person that took Antonio Brown seems to be employing a bit of, I think it's crazy, a zero running back draft philosophy. Fantasy Football Calculator also talks about this on their website. We have talked in the past couple of years about the zero quarterback theory, and I think there is some merit to that, unless you are in two quarterback leagues where actually you can make a case, you can take a quarterback in the first round, second round, or certainly in the third round. For a zero running back theory, you better be in a full PPR league. So there is more of an emphasis on points gained from running backs who catch the ball and wide receivers who catch the ball, not half point PPR or not standard scoring. But the human being that chose Antonio Brown in the first round, then chose AJ Green in the second round, then chose Travis Kelce in the third round, and then chose Aaron Rodgers in the fourth round. So as an example, let's just take that team. That is an example of a zero running back theory. He's got his starters at the other key positions all set. Now, he didn't go bench, which some suggest you actually take your first five and get, say, your wide receiver, your third wide receiver, and get that set up before you start picking running backs. So what running backs did he get by going with a zero running back approach to drafting? After getting his wide receiver one, wide receiver two, tight end one, and Aaron Rodgers, his running backs are Mark Ingram, Ronald Jones, Carlos Hyde. He's going to have a lot of problems getting points from his running backs in the first month of the season. Mark Ingram's not playing the entire first month of the season. Ronald Jones seems to be a flawed running back who clearly is going to be fighting an uphill battle behind Peyton Barber in Tampa Bay. And then Carlos Hyde is probably going to be his most productive back the first month, but is also a member of the Cleveland Browns on a bad team that might be trying to catch up. And just who knows how much volume Hyde will get and then keep. So I don't like how the zero running back theory ultimately plays out here. Again, this is only a half point PPR league, but that's an example of it. All right, second round overall went Beckham, Allen, Jones, Devontae Freeman, Thomas Green, Jordan Howard, Davante Adams, Jerick McKinnon. Are the Niners going to lose all their running backs to injury before we even get to the third preseason game? Gronk, Baldwin, and Evans. Takeaways on second round here, half point PPR. After 10 of the first 12 picks were running backs, virtually everyone who picked running back then went with their wide receiver instead. For example, the guy who took Dalvin Cook took Odell Beckham. The guy who took Fournette took Allen. The guy who took Kareem Hunt took Jones. The guy who took Melvin Gordon took Michael Thomas. The guy who took Kamara did not. He went ahead and took his second running back, albeit he took Jordan Howard there. And I don't like a lot about the Bears right now until much further notice. And after Jordan Howard was one of my waiver finds in 2016 that really worked out for me. I was down on him in 2017. He became sort of a Brett Saberhagen type. 1 week good, 1 week not so good. I want more consistency from my running back. And I'd rather have a running back who actually stays on the field and can actually catch football, which Howard hasn't proven he can do. The guy who took Barkley took Devontae Adams. The guy who took Ezekiel Elliott did take McKinnon. I see that. And barring the latest injury conversation about McKinnon, clearly, at the time I record this podcast, it's not nearly as bad as the Darius Geis injury turned out to be, but I can see that. I mean, I'm the guy that in the league I commissioned last year, I drafted three running backs, 1, 2, 3. By the way, the only reason I drafted a third running back was because it was Ezekiel Elliott, and knowing that he was going to play, rather than sit the first four games of the season. I just had that feeling as I talked about at length here on the podcast a year ago. Gronk, then the guy who took Gurley took Baldwin, the guy who took Johnson took Evans. So it looks like from this, even in a half-point PPR league, it looks like if you go running back in the first round, chances are you're going to be, okay, I've got my RB1. Now let's get my wide receiver one. Depending on the running back that is available, I wouldn't have a problem if you've got a home run of an RB2 that actually could put up borderline RB1 numbers. I think you're fine going two running backs and waiting on the wide receiver. Because some of these wide receivers are going to have off games. My point here is, wouldn't you rather have a running back that you know every week is going to put up numbers rather than investing that second round pick in the wide receiver who might do it every week, but more like every other week or 2 out of 3 weeks? And it just seems like as the season goes on, more wide receivers have their value increase, I think, than being able to pinpoint. There are running backs you can get out there that turn out to be wonderful, or there are quarterbacks you can get out there like Deshaun Watson last year. We knew he wouldn't stay on the bench very long. It wasn't very long at all. But the point being is, I've always thought you can find wide receivers because teams use so many of them. They're going to get hurt. Quarterbacks change. Quarterbacks develop rapport with receivers in time. Younger ones start to make a name for themselves, develop a rapport with that quarterback. Coordinators know they can call certain plays for that wide receiver. I'm just saying, don't feel you have to. If you want to, after grabbing your RB1 in the first round and just get a top wide receiver in the second round, I get it. But if there's a running back there and you know he's going to be good, you feel very strongly he's going to be productive, he's going to be on the field a lot, he's going to have high volume. Clearly, that's what that guy felt who got Kamara, and he feels that way about Jordan Howard. And granted, the touches are there, but the fact that Jordan Howard, as of the end of last season, couldn't catch a football would scare me away. One of a number of things, other than the fact he's on the Chicago Bears, that scares me away too. Not only can he not catch a football, I'm just still not sure Mitchell Trubisky can throw it, especially with any defender within 3 yards of him. But the point being is, if there's a running back there in the second round and you feel he's maybe an RB1, I think you go ahead and take him. I don't think working uphill to get your wide receivers is not going to hurt you as much as not having those running backs. So it flies in the face of the zero running back theory. I firmly believe that getting quality running backs is just a nice way and a traditional way to build your team, to have that position set, because they're tougher to find as the season goes on. Third round went Christian McCaffrey. That seems underdrafted. Then T.Y. Hilton, who suddenly is moving back up draft boards because Andrew Luck is throwing a big boy football. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. Interesting that in many of the drafts I'm looking at, the minute Thielen or Diggs go, the other one goes next. And their ADP is very reflective of that. Changing quarterback in Minnesota, changing offensive coordinator in Minnesota. But yes, I would expect Thielen and Diggs to still be productive. I would sign towards Thielen rather than Diggs, not getting too caught up in Diggs scoring that touchdown that put the Vikings into the NFC Championship game. He did have a nice push late in the fantasy season that was understated, but Thielen to me is just more of the higher volume guy. Then you go Mixon in this draft for what it's worth. Geis was there. Remove him from all your draft boards. He's done for the year. Geis in the third round, I think, would have been overdrafted anyway. Kelce then as the second tight end behind Gronk. Various drafts, I've seen Kelce go 3-4 spots after Gronk. He's generally not going any more than one round after Gronk. I see that. I think Mahomes will lean on Kelce a lot. And Kelce is a nice, large, prevalent, safe target for Mahomes to make checkdowns. And from the little bit we saw Mahomes in the preseason game against Houston, I think there will be a number of checkdown type throws that Mahomes makes for a while, and Kelce will be on the receiving end of a number of those. Then McCoy, because of his off-field situation, I'd stay away from McCoy. Derrick Henry next, Tyreek Hill, Kenyon Drake, and Larry Fitzgerald. Fourth round, started with Jay Ajayi, which I forget where I saw it and talked about it, I think, on the podcast last week. It was either Fantasy Football Calculator or it was Roto World that noted. It might have been Evan Silva who noted it on Roto World. Might be giving Evan too much credit, but he's very good at what he does. Jay Ajayi last year on a Super Bowl winning team, on two different teams where he basically was or became the featured running back. Jay Ajayi never touched the ball on a snap inside the 5-yard line. That's enough for me to not consider Jay Ajayi in my season-long league or in a daily game until I see that that changes. Why would you want a running back who doesn't touch the ball inside the five? Why? I don't. Deshaun Watson goes next. Alex Collins, then Josh Gordon. No thanks. Lamar Miller, his ADP value seems to be rising again. I'm lukewarm on that. Then Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on. All right, let's just – and look, you can get quarterbacks later. But if I've got Lamar Miller sitting there – okay, so let's look at the last four picks here in this half-point PPR draft. The last four picks, Alex Collins, Josh Gordon, Lamar Miller, and then Aaron Rodgers. Why are you getting – to use a Matthew Berry term, cute. No, you of those four, you don't take Alex Collins instead of Aaron Rodgers. You don't take Josh Gordon instead of Aaron Rodgers. You don't take Lamar Miller instead of Aaron Rodgers. You don't. Now we're in the fourth round. This isn't a two quarterback league, and this isn't the second round of the draft. So the guy who took Alex Collins only has one running back. He went Julio Jones and then Tyreek Hill in the second and third round. So now he's like, ooh, I really need a running back. He got a little desperate, and he took Alex Collins, who's going to be a high-volume guy. But how many scores are you really going to get from him? Are you just trying to get, you know, it's almost like a placeholder there. Josh Gordon, who knows? Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller's a nice player to have on your roster. I don't get excited about him. I don't think Lamar Miller is a reason you're going to win a fantasy championship. And Lamar Miller was taken by a guy who already had Melvin Gordon and Shady McCoy, which, ironically, I had Melvin Gordon and Shady McCoy last year. But having McCoy last year looked a lot better than having him this year, considering what's going on off the field. Seems like this guy hedged his, had some buyer's remorse with the Shady McCoy pick. Well, I better get Lamar Miller in case Shady McCoy, I don't know, ends up in jail. So why take McCoy then? Instead of taking Shady McCoy, he could have simply taken Derrick Henry or Kenyon Drake, and then he could have taken Aaron Rodgers or a wide receiver in the fourth round. After Aaron Rodgers, Amari Cooper, no thanks. Then Zach Ertz, who's been coming off boards as the third tight end. A little deeper off the board than Kelce goes after Gronk, but not much. In this case, it was a full round and two picks. Then Demaryius Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster. I see Juju Smith-Schuster, and I see him in the fourth round, and I'm like, wow. And you know what I say? Good for Juju and owners. Yeah, I see it. Then Sony Michel and Allen Robinson of the Bears finished the fourth round. Let me quickly walk you through rounds 5 and 6. It went Rashad Penny, Golden Tate, Royce Freeman, Alshon Jeffery. By the way, just quickly on Royce Freeman, and I'm not a risk taker. There have been some recently trying to talk down Royce Freeman, saying, well, word out of Bronco camp is Booker this, Booker that. Yeah, we Booker owners can tell you. Don't worry about Booker. Booker is, let me make this analogy. Booker is kind of a Luke Walton type. And the analogy is this. When Luke Walton played for those very talented Laker teams, Luke Walton would have a playoff game where he would have like, oh, I don't know. He'd have 12 to 15 minutes and he'd be very productive and really stand out. And you're like, wow, what would Walton do if he got 22 or 25 minutes? And then in the next playoff game, he got 22 or 25 minutes and he kind of disappeared. Booker is that way. You get a small sample off a game and you're like, wow, look at Booker. And then the Broncos buy into it and you buy into it. And then suddenly he's featured and then he's a non-factor. So I would be much more interested in owning. I'm not going to say I'm going to use a season-long draft pick on Royce Freeman, but I would be much more interested in owning Royce Freeman than Booker. And Booker doesn't scare me at all away from owning Royce Freeman. After Freeman, Alshon Jeffery, Brandon Cooks, Jarvis Landry, Mark Ingram went in the fifth round. That was the zero running back guy, by the way. Marvin Jones of the Lions, then Greg Olsen, Jimmy Graham back-to-back, Tevin Coleman, Chris Hogan finishes the fifth round. Hogan, if nothing else, by default, should be quite the downfield target and red zone target for Tom Brady. Sixth round started off with Russell Wilson, followed by Michael Crabtree. Of course, now in Baltimore, Tom Brady. So Tom Brady was the fourth quarterback off the board in this half point PPR 12 team draft, followed by Corey Davis, Kyle Rudolph. Rudolph, I do like as a tight end because of Kirk Cousins' addition and just Rudolph's background and what we've seen from him. Then Ronald Jones, Kerryon Johnson, then Deion Lewis, Carson Wentz, Julian Edelman. You're dealing with another suspension there. Cam Newton, Sammy Watkins. And then ironically, three of the first four picks in the seventh round were tight ends. This is a must-carry tight end, must-play tight end league. Trey Burton, Evan Ingram, Delanie Walker surrounding Drew Brees, with then Marshawn Lynch and Isaiah Crowell going after them. I think with Lynch, you have people knowing that Lynch wasn't featured as much last year. You wonder how John Gruden plans to utilize him this year, since John Gruden has created some other options for himself. If Lynch and Gruden are actually going to get along and coexist, who knows? Lynch could be Keyshawned, which is John Gruden basically saying to Marshawn Lynch, here's your money and don't bother showing up for work. Just we'll pay you, but just don't bother us. You can see that scenario. And Crowell in New York, granted competing for time with Bilal Powell. Powell just doesn't strike me as someone who's going to be physically able to stay in the lineup on an everyday basis, an every game basis. Crowell being out of Cleveland is an obvious bump up, especially considering Kroll at one point, what, a month or so ago, when asked about his days in Cleveland, just basically said about offensive mind Hugh Jackson. Crowell said, "I don't know what my role was. I tend to side with Crowell and give him the benefit of the doubt." I think you can do a lot worse than rostering Isaiah Crowell as, say, a flex play or a fourth running back. I don't know that I want him as my third back. I might be a little greedy there. But if I can get Crowell as a fourth back on my roster, knowing what he's capable of, and for all the other reasons I gave, or as a potential flex play, or I use him as an inexpensive option in a daily game, I'll take it and then see what's going on with the Jets from a McCown-Darnold standpoint. If the Jets are playing from behind in games, that, you know, just like Crowell did in Cleveland, a situation he's familiar with. All right. As always, my thanks to Fantasy Football Calculator, RotoWorld, ProFootballTalk.com, my host site, JoeBucksFan.com, for all the material that sort of give me a baseline for what I'm talking about. If you have any specific fantasy football questions that you want me to ask or give you a second opinion, got a real nice email from a gentleman in a keeper league. Basically, in one hand, he can keep Hunt, and in the other hand, he can keep Beckham. And he made an argument for Hunt, and then right at the end, he made the argument for Beckham, which ultimately led to him asking the question. And then I answered his question. I want him and all of you to make your own decisions, but I'm just here to offer you a second opinion. And I will always do that at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. And remember to send your email request to be an owner if you're in the Tampa Bay area. And you're available on the night of Wednesday, August 22nd, and we would need you there by 6:30 p.m. To play in fantasy football leagues powered by Hooters and JoeBucksFan.com. I will be there that night, just as I was last year, shadowed by wonderful Hooters calendar girls, Brooke and Ty, who have worked my golf tournaments and who work at that store. Ira Kaufman will be there. Steve from Joe Bucks Fan will also be there. The defending champion, Robert Wright, will be there. That's the only remote draft party we are taking requests for, and it's not an RSVP. Just because you email and say I'm in doesn't mean you're in until I write you back and tell you you're in. This is still a random process, and space is limited. But send an email requesting to be an owner in one of those leagues to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com or any fantasy football question, even if you can't make the draft that night or you're outside the Tampa Bay area. I know I have people listening around the state of Florida, around the United States, around the world. At one point, we checked the numbers either late last season or early in the offseason, and we saw that we were being downloaded in as many as 16 or 17 different countries. And I would imagine many of those people may be of a United States military background, which makes me appreciate that number even more. Thank you very much for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. And remember, we have our new spinoff, which we hope will be better than the NBC spinoff Joey from Friends. The second episode of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin, will be coming up later this week. We'll be focusing on the wide receiver position in this particular Bucks Bulletin. So for those of you that are specifically Buccaneer fans who have found me via JoeBucksFan.com, it is a spotlight on the Buccaneers. And from a fantasy standpoint, we not only talk fantasy as it relates to the Bucks, but once we get into the regular season, we will analyze their fantasy matchup each week. So that doesn't just mean we're going to be talking about the Buck player to play. No, we're going to be talking about the matchup. So we'll be featuring the fantasy impact of opposing players of the Bucks, which until further notice might be a good idea to play people against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on when the Bucks pop up on that particular team's schedule. All right, so that's the spinoff. It posts every Wednesday, Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin, and it will be there every Wednesday. This will be the second week through week 16. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. And we'll talk to you again next time.